Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for the session of Senior Focus. A warm welcome to all our listeners, and particularly, and I recently wrote on the range of topics on our program, the range of people who join in, but who is our target audience? And for those who are curious, it is 50 plus, up to 90 plus, because we span all the generations and all the different age stages of our ageing population. And I think it's important to note that there are people who don't get out as much as they used to, who really value radio, and seniors are great avid supporters and listeners to radio programs. And so whenever any threats to those sources of funding appear on the horizon, I get busy with my pen. But in this case, the submission wasn't about broadcasting. But we are facing, with Auckland Council and the whole that's been created in the budget, by a number of forces, including the loss of non-rates income during COVID. Lack of, for example, the accommodation bed tax, which was act for two things. One, because the borders were shut, but two, was axed by a court decision that said it wasn't a fair tax and it shouldn't have been imposed. So consequently, that's a source of income that's been lost. Of course, film production creates a huge return to council, and something in the region of several billion over the last 3 years alone, and that's been during the impact of COVID and so on. So it's likely to be more than that in the future. But that's an area where, we look forward to that sort of income coming in. And, of course, it hasn't been as high as might have been expected. There are other adverse situations that have occurred, including the weather and the impact of climate change, that actually adding to the bills at council. So not only have we got a shortfall, but we've got increased expenditure coming with trying to take some sort of preventative action towards future storms. Go and have your say session across the city. I've visited a few communities on the shore and been at meetings and halls and libraries and seen and listened to various people raising concerns, watching different local board members in different local board areas tackle the situation differently, but essentially they're all on a very slippery slope, having to explain what the potential cuts might mean on one hand, because obviously there is not enough money to go around, and on the other hand, giving people the bad news of how those cuts might be somewhat mitigated against if there was increased borrowing, if there was increased rates, and so on. And it's a bitter pill, whoever has to swallow it, and however big it is, it's still a moot point, but it's not going to improve anytime soon in the taste. And the way of how we cope with taking this on board, will it decimate communities? Will it actually prevent communities from coming together? And that's a very big question that we need to ask ourselves. It's a very serious question, because when you think about what happened post the weather bombs and cyclones, we had communities in various areas that pulled together really well, like in Murawai, for example, and out at Piha and various other localities. I won't name them all, but people gathered and worked round the clock and devoted themselves to often the well-being of people they didn't even know. I think in South Auckland, they dealt with hundreds, if not thousands, through various Marae initiatives. And certain people have already received a lot of accolades and recognition for what they did in the media and even on this program earlier this month. But basically, I think it's shown everybody that we can pull together, that people do care about the communities, and that there is a network out there that can be activated in these times of disaster. However, what was at the base of the actions that were taken, how things were done and how things got improved in these situations dealt with, was largely on the back of the infrastructure, the social infrastructure that we have, that is largely glued together with some small amount of funding from local boards and some funding from council. And I'm talking about the community buildings that we use, the halls, the community centres, and they weren't just used for people to actually knock on doors and come and link up with other people. They were used to store donated goods, clothing, food, blankets. It's all very well asking for people to donate them, but if there's nowhere just to put them, they can't just be put out in the open in the park. They have to be housed, and it's those community buildings that really were a godsend. They were a great blessing. And they were, in fact, a natural place where people would gather for support or to give support, and that's how they functioned. But without their community managers on board directing activities, without the planning and organising behind the scenes to make sure that certain rooms were made available and their normal functions distributed differently throughout the building. Intelligent use of the structure and of the organisational communications tree and so on was all part of the success of the ways in which communities gathered together and worked to help people. And if local boards get $16 million taken off their budget, if they lose 48% of the funding they have, if the community leases rise dramatically, and the invoices that we've seen in the last month that have come out to community groups are horrific. I've heard of somebody who had a small office, not much bigger than a large shoebox, really small office, and that has gone from $200 leased invoice a year to over $1,200. We've heard of another one where it's a heritage property and this group does working bees, maintains the garden, keeps it open to the public for people to hire and visit, and they do whatever repairs are needed, and they generally make sure that it's properly caretaked. Now, their bill has gone up in the thousands as well, and they're saying, well, our group will have to disband because we can't continue to function with a sort of debt level. We haven't got the capacity amongst our members to find this kind of money, and it makes really a mockery of all that we do, which we do for nothing. The council will then have to pay people to do the jobs that we do for nothing at the moment. So how will they actually win in that situation? These are some of the questions that are being tossed back to the local board members. The local board members have the jurisdiction to supply these groups with funding to help them with relief. But if they do that, they are going to receive heftier cuts from council in their own budget and told to, you know, you have to take the money from somewhere else. So it's going to be a nightmare. And I'm not stirring the pot. I am really just presenting to you the kinds of discussions that were going on at these Have Your Say meetings. In case you didn't get to one, Another example would be the future of bus routes and bus services. Obviously, there's been quite a lot of cuts in the buses due to lack of drivers, and most recently they decided to axe the number of services completely and take them off the routes and off the books. And it tidied up things, but it's not a good look long term. So now when they come to assess a bus route and patronage and the value to the community, they're now going to assess it on current usage, not on past usage. So a lot of people actually stopped going out and stopped going places because of COVID. And they're only slowly getting back into doing some of the things they used to do. A lot of people have, because they got frustrated with the erratic services, with cancellations occurring with very little notice, they decided that they would use their car rather than miss their medical appointment. And so they're not busing in the numbers that they used to. However, if this calculations system that AT are going to use is based on the current usage, I fear that services will be cut even further, and we will see that we have an inappropriate public transport system that just doesn't meet the needs of people who are older and who often need to get to healthcare and need public transport to do so because they can't drive home afterwards. And they don't have perhaps anyone who can drive them, nobody in their family is in that position, or they don't have family. So there's lots of scenarios where seniors will be affected. So this requires everyone who's capable of making an effort to present their response, their have your say feedback, to get going. And further to that, this program is a chat program, largely because most of the councillors that I've spoken to haven't got the time, this week in particular, to come on air and articulate these matters and share what they've experienced from attending these meetings. Although a number were approached and a number are interested, they said, oh, try me next week. And I said, well, next week the problem is that it'll be too late because by the time we go to air, the Have Your Say forms will have disappeared from the library and the opportunity will have closed because it closes on the 28th of March. So I'm wanting you to be very aware that, yes, there is an opportunity. Yes, there are forms available at the library. And if you don't see any, you could ask them to help you either to do an online submission or help you, they could print out a form for you. I suggest that you do look at the documents that are there. They've got 300 odd pages of reference material. You don't have to read it all. You can go to the pages that pertain to your local board so you are able to comment on your local board's priority. Because there is a question that asks you what you think of the board's priorities. If there's going to be cut, where should they cut from? And this line of questioning was on the wall at the library last week at the Have Your Say Lutheran East Coast Faith Library in Browns Bay. I noted that the question asked, what would you not like cut? And I thought, a double negative is a tricky situation because sometimes people get confused about how they're actually answering and what they're actually picking. And they may put down the opposite of what they really want. But I hope that people managed it. It was a stick a dot on the wall exercise where you could put a dot up against those things that you didn't want to cut. And libraries received huge numbers of dots, not surprising. Community programs also received large numbers of dots. Suggestions that the mowing of lawns and ferns be let go or reduced considerably so that, A, the bees get more wildflowers and wild grasses to feed off and pollinate from with, and also that this was a less important priority than facilitating community groups and community action and community networks. So I don't want to say anything more than that, because obviously that was one exercise and there are just literally probably half a dozen within each board area going ahead, and then everything gets collated from those and everything gets collated from the submission. And when you look at the questions, I mean, do you agree that we should sell the airport shares? Or do you think we should only sell 10%? Or do you think we should sell none of them? And alternatively put up rates and borrow more. So the questions are very clear. They want to know what actions you would approve of the council taking, what actions you don't want taken, and what actions you might want modified. And you can tell them why, what you think and why you think it. And there's a reasonable space on the form to do this. It's important to exercise your judgment, because this budget is probably the most serious budget facing Auckland Council in the last 20 years, and it will impact the council for the future 10 years. It will impact us in the ageing population as we age and as we have face further issues with our mobility, or lack of it, with our need for relating to others and not being so isolated socially, living on our own, or how we get to healthcare, or whether when fat we are able to access quality nutritional food easily, or whether it's too difficult for us to get out to do shopping. All these things will be part of the fabric of our lives, and the changes will impact on us. So do make your views heard. Do speak up. Do write. Do pick up your phone and phone your local councillor. Even if you leave a message on the answer phone, ask to be called back, give you your number. I do think that we need to go out of our way to make sure our voices are heard. And that's what this program stands for. It is the opportunity for you to reflect on things and to make efforts yourself. I'm sure. Community programs, community events, community grants. What's the difference in the funding of all these things? And how does my group, how does my bowls group or my exercise class at the hall, how does that fare in the things? Will the person running the exercise class find that the hall hire is too expensive and stop running it? Will the bowls club have to fold because they can't afford to pay the lease they have? And so on. These sort of questions may arise because nobody quite knows at this point how far these cuts are going, how deep they might be, and who potentially is the most likely to be affected. But a certain effort put out now will make a difference. What it will save and how much it will save, I don't know. But I think there will be less of a clean sweep of cuts if there's a strong reaction from the public. I listened to Desley Simpson address a Greytown meeting 2 weeks ago, and her main thrust was there there's some room, wriggle room at council for council to trim its budget. I mean, a lot of us observe different things going on. We see how things that need maintenance are treated, the way the procurement policy works, how remediation is done. For example, a dishwasher breaks down in Warkworth. They don't use a local supplier to come and fix it and get on with it so people can use the hall and they can sterilise their tea and coffee cups and not run any risks under COVID. Oh no, they can't do something simple. They have to go under the auspices of the regional contract they have with a large corporate company, and they send out two people from Auckland all the way to Warkworth. It's over 100k's. And those people write a report after investigating the problem. They go back to town and write a report and then bill the council for the journey, for the two people's wages and for the report. And when that's received in a week's time or later, a decision is then made on how they will proceed with the actual repair. Now, sometimes a report is necessary, but when it's a simple machine failure, using a local supplier to come and fix it so it can be back in operation same day makes real sense, and certainly makes logical sense not to send people out from Auckland to see something that's, in the scheme of things, relatively minor. It puts the cost of it sky high to the point where it's almost cheaper to buy a new sterilizer. It's really crazy how much an incident like that can cost. It's these sort of decisions that need changing. Some of the way council functions needs investigating. There needs to be a lot more rigor and efficiency rules put over the procurement processes, remediation and maintenance processes. And as for the parks, lots of people have said, oh, you know, why can't we cut back the mowing of grass and the mowing of the berms? I mean, it's quite a sensible thing to do if you want to look after people's health and well-being. You want to encourage bees. And it's a good way to do it, to cut back on that mowing. I mean, couldn't you have small shrubs planted that didn't require mowing at all? Wouldn't that be more sensible? There are lots of ways in which we could analyse and improve what's going on. And if you've got ideas, put them in your submission. You've got nothing to lose. And, I mean, sometimes people don't do things because they can't think of what they could do. They can't think of how they could improve it. But if you've got ideas, for goodness sake, get them in and share them, because this is what's needed. Quite often the people who are charged with finding these things or thinking about them are just too busy with other matters, or sometimes they just, quite frankly, they just don't have that sort of brain that is creative and innovative. There's plenty of ways in which you can have a positive influence on what's going on, where you can make a difference. And you can help people who want to make a difference. I really can't stress that enough. And if you think it's going to take too long, I think you need to think again, because the form is only about five or six pages. And I think if you set yourself a task of answering one question a day over the next week, you'd have it finished in no time. There is space for you to say anything else that's on your mind, and that's pretty broad. So there's no reason why you can't put even your own personal ideas into it, why you can't share those. So do make an effort to have your say. Do talk to others in your community, and do encourage others to also have their say. Use the library box to drop off your submissions. Remember, it's the 28th of March that things close. If you've never done one in your life before, this would be the best time to do one. You'd certainly be in the swim and you'd be making a difference. Okay, so thank you for listening, and we'll look forward to having your company Sunday week. Bye for now.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so
with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz. facebook.com/seniorfocus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.